Hi, and welcome to Responsa Radio, where you ask and we answer questions of Jewish law in modern times. I'm Rabbi Avi Killip, Executive Vice President at Hadar, here with Rabbi Ethan Tucker, Rosh Yeshiva at Hadar, a center for higher Jewish learning based in New York City. We're going to do a Responsa Radio mini question. And in an unusual circumstance, this is my question, actually, that I'm bringing.
Avi, I can't believe it.
I am really excited about the upcoming total eclipse that will be on April 8th. The path of totality is crossing through the United States. I believe that the next time this happens, I will be 60 years old. I think it's like a good 20 plus years from now. I'm actually planning to take my kids out of school for 2 days. We booked a hotel. We're going to drive to Rochester, New York, which is in the path of totality. We bought the eclipse glasses. We are all set to go.
Incredible. I am so excited about this also. I'm behind you. I don't have the eclipse glasses. They're probably running short already.
Yeah, you got to get on that.
I know. I got to get on it right away. And we're not staying the night. I'm just going to drive up that morning, and hopefully there's not impossible traffic.
Well, good luck to you. My question is there a bracha that I should be saying upon seeing the total eclipse?
Yeah, this is a great question. We're just going to take it on briefly. This is a question where you get pulled apart by two things that are actually both near and dear to my heart. The first is a sense of conservatism about liturgy and about our texts and our blessings, and the power of them is we kind of do them the way our ancestors did them, and the categories that they've bequeathed to us are the ones that construct the way we see and understand the world, and therefore you stay in the boxes that they gave you. And the sense that a bracha is the Jewish way of expressing amazement at living in God's world in ways you can't always fully fathom, and your heart and emotions get ahead of your head, and you need a way to express that.
Although an eclipse is not a modern phenomenon.
That's right. But here's the problem. It's a modern phenomenon to think of an eclipse as something awesome and amazing. The Talmud lists all kinds of things that are natural phenomena that are amazing that you say blessings over.
Rainbows.
So, rainbows and seeing amazing mountain ranges and going and encountering the sea for the first time in a month and all these kinds of things that still translate exactly the same. They talk about, you know, thunder, lightning, all these things. They don't list eclipses under the list of blessings. And it's pretty clear why, because in other places they'll say, oh, here are the four horrendous sins for which God brings a solar eclipse.
Uh-huh.
Here are the four pretty bad sins for which God brings a lunar eclipse. You hear the famous stories about, you know, Columbus sailing to the New World and other explorers who already could predict when there was going to be an eclipse and using it as kind of like a cudgel of fear against the natives that they encountered and freaking them out about, I'm going to make the sun go dark. This is a scary thing before early modernity, where we start to get the ability to predict and to understand that it's nothing more than the moon casting a shadow on the earth.
Although you won't be surprised to know that I've read many essays about the experience of seeing a total eclipse. I've never in my life actually had that experience yet. That's what I'm chasing. I want to be one of these eclipse chasers. But the description of the experience is not – actually, it holds some of that. People describe it as completely disorienting, the way that you see the sun setting simultaneously all around you at once instead of only on one side of the earth as we are used to. And that it awakens in you a feeling of – mortality, a feeling of smallness, a feeling of awareness of where you are actually in the cosmos as opposed to just on the earth. So I think in many ways these texts really are moving and feel in keeping with people's experience today.
Yeah. And look, there is a way of leaning into that. And in fact, if you look at most rabbinic authorities that have taken up this question, even in the 20th and 21st centuries, they've said, look, we may not be as afraid of this as they were, but we are still put on edge. We come from a tradition that gives it this kind of negative valence and significance. And the way to approach that is not to say a blessing, not to say a bracha. There's a way in which also, what do we say blessings for? Things where we feel we are bestowed upon us, incredible things, a sense of blessing. What is an eclipse? It's a withholding of light at the end of the day. You don't say a blessing over something being taken away from you. And if you're feeling awe, find some verses from the Book of Psalms that talk about the sun and the moon. Say those, and you'll then sort of navigate the right space of being conservative in your liturgical forms, you know, not expanding the categories of blessings given to us by the Talmudic sages, and maybe preserving some of their cultural construction of what this means. And we're both, you know, kind of being good liturgists, as it were, and also ending up in a place where we express something, but in a way that's in keeping with their mindset. There's at least one prominent contemporary voice, but I think a sort of, you know, larger pool of instinct around this, Rav Eliezer Melamed, who simply says, yeah, like all that is true, but I'm sorry. Today we think of this as an amazing astronomical event, which is resonant with God's administration of the world, as it were. And the same way we say Kiddush Levana when we see the moon beginning to wax again, and that is incredible to us, this is the same. And he almost in a backhanded way just says, now that we understand what this is, of course you say the blessing of Osei Ma'aseh V'Reshit, which is the thing we generally say over incredible natural wonders, when you see a solar eclipse.
Which translates to?
The one who makes the works of creation. Now, as I said, this is where I feel torn apart, because part of me in general, I feel like I'm generally very conservative about liturgy. And on some level, this whole podcast is about how do we go back to sources from the past and say, well, let me allow them to shape my understanding of meaning and construction. And there might be multiple voices, and we'll take those all in, but we're not looking to make up our own new take on the world. But also, I'm an astronomy buff, and I'm not yet an eclipse chaser, but I'm always the one telling my kids, look, Jupiter's up now, and oh, Mars is going to start rising. And these phenomena and the sky charts and what's up in the sky are a piece of my connecting to the majesty of creation, including the feeling of being small and minimized, but in a way that, yeah, I want to reach out to God in that moment. As a Jew, I want to be able to say something Jewish in that moment, not just, wow, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. The way Jews say, this is so amazing is, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Osei Ma'aseh V'Reshit. And I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet, but I do have a strong instinct with Rav Melamed that at a certain point, if you're in an honest relationship with God, and you can see, not in a way that's undermining, but you can see from the ancient sources that, well, had they thought about an eclipse the way we do, of course it would be on that list.
Yeah.
Well, then they would have said that bracha too. But it's hard to know for sure.
Yeah. I imagine there are listeners who might have had the instinct to say Shehechianu as the blessing. I know we have a whole nother episode you can check out about that. But it's striking to me that Shehechianu would be more about me as an individual.
Yeah.
And Ma'aseh Bereshit is actually much more about the world and the cosmos. So it feels like actually a much more appropriate blessing to me, should you choose to say a blessing.
Yeah. So I think in this mini episode, as is often the case, we're not giving people 100% crystal clear guidance, but this is a moment, I would say, when you're sitting there at the eclipse, whether you're saying that bracha or not, it's actually an amazing moment to think about how you sit in the intersection between a contemporary moment of wonder and the way your ancestors would have experienced that same phenomenon.
I'm going to ask one follow-up question, which I'm pretty sure you'll laugh at me about, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I've been reading these articles about how animals behave in a total eclipse. Mm-hmm. This has been my primary, when the news is too scary, I read articles about the eclipse, highly recommend, that you know, the crickets, the birds, they start to actually go to sleep and make their like going to sleep noises. And then like 3 minutes later when it's over, they make their I just woke up noises. So like, just to be clear, you wouldn't say the Shema when the sun goes down and comes back up.
So, you know, it's funny. You say it's a funny question, but there are actually poskim who have dealt with this, whether halachot, whether various mitzvot that require a certain number of sunsets. Does a solar eclipse count as a sunset? For the most part, the answer is no. Come on. We all know it's a,
I am not a cricket.
It's a case of a day. But it's not universal on all points. There are issues where there's a sense of, well, the sun went out. And if it's not an issue of a day, but it's potentially an issue of, you know, the sun setting, maybe there are certain contexts where that counts for something. It's beyond what we can do in this mini episode. But it's actually, I think, an amazing and profound question, because there too, it's sitting with the intersection between astronomy and astronomical rhythms that are the basis for our normal experiences. But then what if our experience in the moment of an eclipse is simulating the experience of a day and a night?
Yeah. Perhaps we will report back.
Maybe we'll see each other in the suburbs of Rochester.
I hope any listeners that make it to the eclipse, write to us and let us know what you decide to do.
Please do.
Thanks.
You are the one that lights up the sun, and you're the reason my life's so much fun, and you're the one I'll call number one, 'cause you are the one that lights up the sun.
Have a halachic question you'd like answered on the show? Email us at responsaradio@hadar.org. Responsa Radio is a project of the Hadar Institute. Thanks to Jeremy Tabak for producing this podcast and to David Chabinsky for recording and editing this episode.
We're like two peas, we're stuck in the pod. Stick to me like glue, no one else will do. 'Cause you are the one that lights up the sun, and you're the reason my life's so much fun, and you're the one I'll call number one, 'cause you are the one that lights up the sun.